Hello, and welcome back to Fan Affliction. We are your two favourite Afflicted fans. And here, it's very excited. We're both very excited this week because we're going to a different fandom. Ooh. We've mentioned this a number of times in the podcast, and like over a few episodes. But this week, we're going into Avatar The Last Airbender. Ooh. So I just want to pre-warn everyone. Obviously, Avatar The Last Airbender, they are kids. We will never read any fanfic where they are kids. We're not about that. Everyone is an adult. Everyone is, you know, it's legal. So don't worry. It's all good. But I'll stop being boring now. But we're very excited. Zutara.
Yeah, ain't no James Charles business going on. Absolutely up in not. Here.
So Zuko and Katara. I would say my favourite ship of all time, I think.
Truthfully, same.
I just think it's great. I think it's, I mean, Avatar The Last Airbender is, oh God. We had a bit of a moment. We had a bit of a conversation about this last week, didn't we? I do think it's like one of the best shows.
It's so good.
It's timeless.
It is.
It's aged really well. It's not super old, but it's just fantastic. The character's so good. We were talking about how Zuko is like, his character arc is like, there's just the best.
Yes, and for anyone who hasn't watched it, go watch it. But also, if you do like Jermaine, you'll definitely be on board for Zutara.
Yes, yeah,
very similar vibes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like they don't do, you know, they don't end up together in the original series,
which is outrageous,
which is stupid, so stupid. Don't get me started.
We hope it is rectified in the new Netflix remake.
Series. Yeah, honestly, well, the thing is, I think they'll probably rectify in the Netflix series. I don't know if they'll do it in the new Nickelodeon stuff, which is the original producer of Avatar. But to be fair, I'll take whatever I can get.
It's true. Apparently, though, they were thinking about making her end up with Zuko, and then last minute they were just like, nope. Let's just sack it off. Because they were kind of building up to it for a hot second.
That moment, and there was a moment. Cave.
Yes! Yep. Yes! Yep. When she's just healed him. And she
She touches his scar.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. Yeah, oh, don't, honestly.
Oh.
We both have a lot of passion for this. Listen,
really do.
I do not dislike Aang as a character. I don't.
But I'm on the verge.
As a romantic partner for Katara, I just don't see it. I just do not see it personally. I'm super excited. I think I've read more Zutara than any other fan fiction. I just think it's fantastic. So
yeah,
and this is one you've managed to find one that we both haven't read.
Yeah, this is a like short one. We've definitely both read our fair share of like beefy Zutara fanfic. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to My Heart Burns for You.
Oh my God, by, guys!
God, who's it by? Let me get it up.
I can have it.
Because I want to reference it, so I don't want to not give credit. You think I'd know by now?
I know.
It's like Zutara Forever or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can.
Okay, yeah. Shout out to My Heart Burns for You by Always Zutarian on AO3. That honestly, almost. A million words of gold.
It's so good.
It's so long. It's so long, but it is fantastic. Like,
okay, but it hits the spot, guys. It does. 78 chapters. Oof. But it's all you want.
It is very sexual. But it's not all about that. It's not all about, like, there's plot. It's fantastic. However, we're not actually reading that today.
I like that just on the text of this, though, it's like explicit sexual content, smut, male solo, female solo, yeah. Dirty talk, vaginal sex, oral sex. Why did I say vaginal?
Vaginal.
Anal sex, passionate sex, rough sex, Zutara.
Literally. Oh my God.
And then it says warm and fuzzy feelings, just so you know.
It does have those.
The tags of our book are like pretty decent too.
Yeah.
The Summer of Distractions, which is by Gimme Zutara.
On AO, we're on AO3 again.
Yes. We did try to seek permission, but it's a little bit hard to get in contact with Gimme Zutara. So yeah. If you're out there, we really hope you don't mind.
And yeah. We get in contact.
Yeah, we know we'll enjoy your book. But obviously, if you don't want us to read it, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But the tags are like, to you.
Yeah, absolutely. the tags are like Zutara, Slow Burn, Slow Romance, Firelog, Zuko. Okay, so this is important. Ambassador Katara. So that, you know, they're adults, they're in careers. I love Ambassador Katara.
Yes.
In fanfic, I think it's fantastic. She's not just like a bloody woman stuck in the South Pole doing shit all bloody. So mad about it.
Yeah.
Screw you, Legend of Korra.
Actually, just for anyone who has no idea what we're talking about, probably a little bit of background is basically Avatar The Last Airbender is set in a world that is divided into four nations. So for the four elements, water, air, earth, fire, they're all kind of, well, the fire nation's pretty much at war with everyone, a little bit of tyranny up in there. And there should have been an avatar. An avatar is a person who can bend all four elements. It's kind of like magic, but you know, for air, water, earth, fire. And normally you can either just bend the element that you're born into or you can't. And then after 100 years of being missing, they finally find the new avatar. But instead of being like this old wise guru, it's like a little 12-year-old boy. Yeah. Who's just like, lol, oops. And it's kind of him who has to bring them peace.
Exactly. That's, you summed up really well there.
Thank you. I was really nervous. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to explain it without ruining it for you.
I honestly was just, you could tell that I was just so excited to get started that I'm like zipping through this, but you're right. Some background.
Me too,
is
but
important.
I did just have a moment because I know a few of my friends, like, I think people are familiar with Jermaine, but I think that if you don't watch cartoons,
yes,
you might be a little less familiar with Avatar, which is fine.
So Katara is a waterbender. She like helps Aang. She's like part of the team Avatar to get
And she's
him.
The only one in her tribe who can bend water. So she's the only one left. Yeah.
And Zuko is originally he's a bad guy. And he's trying to capture Aang, but then like he has this amazing character arc. This is kind of a spoiler, of course, but you know, hopefully if you're listening
if
to this,
you watch
you don't
it, you'll
mind.
Know though. If you watch it, you'll know it's coming.
And he turns out he helps Aang in the end to defeat the Fire Lord and, you know, restore
balance.
Who's his father, who's a knobhead, who gave him a massive scar on his face.
And banned him from their nation until he found the Avatar.
Oh, just watch the series, please.
Yeah,
Everyone just watch the series.
And tell us what you think.
Via
email.
Oh, speaking of emails, we got our first email this week. And it's been a very exciting week, actually. So we got our first email. We'll say that it will... The name begins with C. Shout out to C. You know,
just
you
in
are.
Case you don't want us to say the full thing.
Yeah,
just want to be, but yeah.
So, thank you for your lovely email.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, we were so excited. You should have seen the messages.
Couldn't believe our eyes, to be honest.
But we also hit 500 listens today.
Woo!
And so, like, it's been a big time. Like, so you know, thank you guys, and do feel free to get in contact if you want. But like, you know, no pressure. It's nice to know. It's just nice to know there are people out there.
It is super nice. And, you know, we've been sent through a few recommendations. And if you have any, we're very open to receiving them. We love it.
Yes.
And you guys probably know a lot more about this kind of stuff than we do. I mean, the books that C sent through, we'd not seen before.
No,
and,
absolutely.
And pretty excited to try and find them. One of them we're having a little trouble locating. So if anybody has access to The Scavengers by Freya Ishtar, feel free to send us a PDF because it seems to be gone from everywhere. Even Reddit didn't have it. R.I.P.
Whoa, you know that. You know we're desperate when we're looking on Reddit.
I know. I was even searching just Google Drives. It was getting dry.
But we because we'd love to. We were just talking about Hunger Games fanfic actually about how we struggle to find. You know, there's a lot of good ones out there, but a lot of ones that are quite sad and tragic.
Or just long.
Or
unbelievably
really
long.
So we are really interested, actually, in finding some good Hunger Games fanfic. But it doesn't have to be, like, Harry Potter. You know, if you guys have any recommendations of just stuff that you like, send it over. Like, you could introduce us to, like, a whole new world. So,
Any Death Note fanfic, I'm open for.
I'm not as much, but I'd be interested.
Okay, but JoJo, the movie was just bad, but the TV show is actually good. The movie was so bad.
Oh my god, with Willem Dafoe?
Ouch. It was pain.
Kill me. That was one of the funniest films I've ever seen in a bad way.
They truly butchered it.
It's just, well, it was just it was a white person version of Death Note, wasn't it? That was it.
It's just not
just
good.
Watch the anime.
Watch the anime. It's not on Netflix anymore though, which is extremely good. Yeah. And read the books. Well, not the books, read the manga. But you
it's
know.
Probably on Crunchyroll, isn't it? Like that anime streaming site.
JoJo knows what's up, man.
I have my partner likes to watch some anime sometimes. He actually watches an anime called JoJo.
Does he?
Yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I do not like it, but he does. Oh. So it's very annoying because sometimes people are like, oh, I love watching JoJo. And I'm like, oh, it's not me though. It's the anime.
Does JoJo in the anime stand for
no,
anything,
it's like or is his, that just his name's name? Like in the, it changes each season, but I think at the first one it's like, oh God. It's like two names. It's like a name beginning of, first name beginning of Joe, second name beginning of Joe. Joe Joestar. No, Joseph Joestar. Something like that.
Okay.
So basically my name's being made a mockery of. And I'm insulted. So yeah.
Oh. Oh, Iron Fist? I've had Marvel.
No, no. Is
it Marvel? I feel like it is.
Are you thinking of oh God. Oh, I don't know enough about anime.
No, Iron Fist isn't anime. It's a it was a comic, but it is Marvel, so I take that back. Sorry guys, I don't know if we're here for the Marvel fanfic.
It's
yet.
So funny, we were actually just having this conversation before and we were talking about Marvel fanfic and how we were saying how we think because Marvel's still happening now, it's just not like we think fanfic almost works a bit better if it's the stories are done and concluded. Yeah.
Because otherwise the timeline's ongoing and it's harder to imagine a different timeline when a new movie is going to come out and clarify stuff for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. Sorry.
But I am open, like if you send one, you're like, no, this is amazing. Like I will definitely read it and we'll definitely skim through it and like me, you know, maybe get on a podcast. So
that's true.
Everything's
we're still
worth
open.
A try. Well, sorry, we love good, worth try.
Just good writing. Yes. You know, we're here for it.
AO3 is nice because it's like it's super easy to see what they're about. I find fanfic mm-hmm. on there a bit complicated.
I'm not very good at like understanding that. The only way that I get onto fanfic.net though is when I'm this is so bad googling a fanfic and then yes. the links on there because I'm yeah. I find it a little bit harder to use the website.
Yeah, it's quite an old website, whereas I think AO3 is more recently updated. But anyway, yes. So
Gimme Zutara.
Gimme Zutara. So I'll read the summary. Katara accepts a job as an ambassador in the Fire Nation. She soon finds out the most intriguing part of her summer isn't the job, but rather is her growing feelings for the Fire Lord.
Oh God, ooh. Yes.
So also another warning. I think there's a bit of smut in here at some point, but we don't know when. So just
hopefully
just
JoJo gets to read it.
Hopefully I'll get to read it. So Aisha can get her revenge on me. But
oh, and the author's left a little note here too. She said this is her. Oh, sorry, I don't know if it's her actually. This is their first longer fic, and they gave a shout out to Joy Dragon for their invaluable help in forming an actual story out of some half baked ideas. The author does have a Facebook group.
Yes, which I tried to access. And yeah, I struggled. So
we are having
like I said.
Trouble penetrating.
Ooh, I'm sure. But it looks like the author has written like quite a few.
Shorts.
So that's great. You know, maybe we'll talk, maybe we can come back to them one day.
Yeah, I mean, there is annual Zutara week, or is it month?
No, it's month. It's coming up.
Woo! Oh, that'll be good.
So this is good timing actually, because I think it is coming up.
Oh my God, the best, honestly.
Big up, my favorite month. Right, should we get started?
Sorry, I was trying to figure out what month. You mean June? May. I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Wait,
I'm
let
not
me
picking
Google
up
it.
On that cue.
Zutara month. I can't remember when it is.
Mm.
Oh shit, it wasn't April. Fuck. Fake fan. It wasn't April. I knew it was around this time of the year.
Oh.
We just missed it.
Hey, maybe there'll be some more fresh stuff we can find though, so it's exciting
surely,
either way.
Yeah.
So JoJo's going to read this week, thank God.
Yeah.
Because I love listening to her melodic voice.
Oh, bless you.
So yeah. Woo!
All right, well, I'll get started. Katara looked around the wedding. She couldn't even remember the last Water Tribe wedding she had attended, if she had ever attended one.
Maybe it's Sokka's.
Surely, right? Like I
her brother.
So. Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll drop little contextual points here and there.
Mm-hmm.
She grinned gleefully as she took in the central hall, decorated with beautiful ice crystals, courtesy of some of the northern waterbenders.
The other tribe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think this is going to be a very introductory chapter. Sprigs of berries hung at regular intervals along the walls and seats.
A berry. I'll stop now.
Signifying new beginnings and new life. A new era of peace.
Are you waiting for me to interrupt?
Yes.
A new era of peace, a new city, and now a new married couple that demonstrated the love between different nations.
Aww.
So a new city. So is this, hopefully you'll find out what that is.
Mm.
She turned back to the bride and groom. Suki looks stunning in her green fur-lined dress.
We love Suki!
I love Suki. She's so great.
So she's the head of a bunch of warriors.
Female warriors.
Female warriors from the Earth Nation. And she's just cool. She's a badass.
Yeah. Her head was adorned with a traditional Kyoshi Island head ornament, and her signature fans rested against her hips in a nod to her heritage. Katara's eyes drifted across to her brother, where he stood next to his bride.
Aww.
He looked ecstatic, and she couldn't help the swell of pride that she felt. He'd really become a man, and now he had someone else to take care of him. She quickly brushed away a tear that fell from her eyelashes, feeling a bit embarrassed. He'd been a man for a few years now, and she didn't have to look after him anymore like she used to. But she still couldn't help the bittersweet emotions bubbling up.
Okay, her brother, Sokka, was truly, like, a man-child
for most
of the series.
And a misogynist.
Yes.
But then he develops. He's like, well, you know, he's a character. They all have character arcs in Avatar.
The development is stellar. It's so good. Yeah. Ugh.
All of their friends had been able to attend. From her position in the front row, she could only see across the aisle to where Toph and Aang sat.
Are they together?
I hope so.
Toph is a blind, very well-off girl, also from the Earth Nation.
The best earthbender in the world, really, isn't she?
And metal too, right?
Yes, yeah, she developed metal bending. She still felt a slight uneasiness about seeing Aang. It had been about a year since she had broken things off with him and moved back to the South Pole.
Yes! Oh, why?
It was refreshing to not be referred to as the Avatar's girlfriend.
Yeah,
and Katara hadn't realised how much she craved a more stable home than a nomadic lifestyle could offer till she arrived back at the South Pole. That's my issue. That's my issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least they are on friendly terms.
Ugh.
You are now pronounced husband and wife. The congregation cheered and applauded as Suki grabbed Sokka's lapel and kissed him hard.
That's very Suki.
He squeezed her back. A goofy smile spread across his face. Katara watched them both through her happy tears.
Aww.
A few hours later, Katara sat at a table watching couples dance through the wedding. She felt so happy for Sokka and Suki, but needed a moment to gather her thoughts. The beginning of a new era for Sokka. Upon her return to the South Pole, she'd focused a lot of her energies on looking after Sokka again and helping to rebuild the city. And prior to that, she'd been rather intensely devoted to looking after Aang. Now, with the city mainly completed, her relationship with Aang finished and Sokka married, she was feeling a bit lost. We are so hyped. You can feel the energy.
I'm so sorry.
We are both so excited.
I'm so ready. Zuko. Zuko.
Where is he?
Literally, I'm sorry. I need it. I know it's been not even a page, but I'm like, come on, B. Show up.
She felt a minor pang in her chest as she watched the bride and groom look lovingly into each other's eyes, gently swaying together in the centre of the dance floor. Her eyes drifted across the hall to where Aang had dragged a reluctant Toph onto her feet. She smiled, though it didn't quite reach her eyes. Not so long ago, everyone had been expecting the next wedding to be for her and Aang. She was certain that her and Aang weren't right for each other in a romantic sense. So she didn't feel the loss of that. But it didn't stop her longing for what Sokka and Suki so obviously had.
Mm.
Katara?
I'm so sorry, I'm going to shut up now.
Katara was jolted out of her reverie to see Zuko. Zuko! She exclaimed, jumping up to throw her arms around him. She pulled back, smiling widely at him. His golden eyes held hers for a moment as she felt the familiar rush of emotions upon seeing Zuko. Joy and utter gratitudes that would never fade at the sacrifice he had once made for her.
Okay, guys. So context here. Essentially, she battled his sister, and his sister threw a lightning bolt at her that would have totally killed her, and he stepped in the way. This is in the actual show.
This is in the last episode.
Yeah, he makes a sacrifice for her.
Yeah,
because amazing. He loves her.
He loves her.
And it was just really moving because he'd betrayed them all with his sister a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
So it was the final, you know, it was the best part of the arc.
And then she helps him defeat the sister. She's the one who defeats him. Sorry, her, really.
Yeah, so that's what his sacrifice was, and it was so cute.
Also, a little bit of extra context, because I just see what's coming up. This chapter is all about context, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
I like that we're assuming that no one's read it, but also, know, like, if you're nerdy enough to be up. Here, yeah, if you're nerdy enough to be here, in, like, 20 minutes in, you're probably like, yep, I know. Just in case.
Zuko has an uncle called, he's called Uncle Iroh. And he was in line to be the Fire Lord, but basically, like, the Zuko's father was, like, a massive knobhead. And Uncle Iroh is just, like, this lovely father figure for Zuko. So he's a good guy.
He has a tea shop for the Jasmine
He's
Dragon.
A tea shop. He's a lovely man. He's a bit of a ladies' man.
And he's got mad firebending skills. Like, yes.
Dragon of the West.
Yes. He can summon without having to have a fire already going somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is, like, super special.
She noticed someone behind Zuko's shoulder and smiled widely before turning to embrace him. "General Iroh," she exclaimed, as he squeezed her in a warm hug. "Master Katara."
Jojo fucking loves that. Master Katara.
Yeah.
The ending she deserved.
Absolutely. "Please, call me Uncle or Iroh."
I read Iroh as Jonless then and had a moment of being very confused. My like morning eyes were not focusing. I was like, what?
Look alive, Aisha. "Only if you agree to just call me Katara," she said teasingly. Iroh laughed. "It is a joy to see you again, Miss Katara," he said. "What a beautiful wedding, and may I say you look particularly exquisite this evening." Zuko blushed a bright red, visibly cringing at his uncle. Katara laughed at Zuko's embarrassment. "You're too kind, Iroh." Iroh spotted Zuko's face and admonished him. "Nephew, where are your manners? Do you not agree?" he said, nudging Zuko sharply with his elbow.
This is so Uncle Iroh. Like, throughout the series, yeah, he's always totally. Like, come on, Zuko.
He's the matchmaker.
Yeah.
Yes, Zuko stammered, eyes flicking around nervously before fixing his gaze on Katara. "You look beautiful, Katara," he said sincerely. Katara felt her face flush and her heart jump slightly. The compliment seemed much less amusing from Zuko. Thank you, Katara managed. Iroh chuckled at Katara's meek response. "May we join you at your table?" he prompted. Katara jumped slightly, embarrassed that she hadn't offered earlier. Of course, please," she said, gesturing towards the seats beside her. Iroh sat himself between Katara and Zuko as he began gushing to Katara about his new tea shop in Ba Sing Se.
Having to stop myself from singing his song.
"Leaves from the vine, falling so slow." So good. So, what a tearjerker. And how about you, Miss Katara? How is life in the South Pole treating you?" Iroh asked. "It's good," Katara said. "I've been helping rebuild some of the city and train some of the waterbenders. Both boys and girls are included in all waterbending disciplines now," she said proudly. "My, what an achievement," Iroh infused. "It is difficult to adjust such traditions." "Yes," Katara said, her tone taking on a hesitant edge that did not go unnoticed by Iroh. "What is it, Miss Katara?" he asked. "I may be an old man, but I have some wisdom to offer that may be useful."
Always, Uncle Iroh, always.
"I'm just working on where my place is," she said carefully. "Sokka is the son of a chief, so he's taking on similar responsibilities to Dad. Paku is here with Gran Gran and continues to teach the majority of the waterbending. The city is mainly rebuilt. I'm not sure what I can offer that they don't already have here. I used to be on the front line of all the work rebuilding the world, but I gave that up." "Ah, you're referring to your relationship with the Avatar?" Iroh asked.
Fucking Aang.
Katara cringed slightly, as Aisha did, as the conversation moved into uncomfortable territory. "Yes, but I didn't feel like I personally was contributing much. I'm just not sure what my next move is." Iroh's eyes lit up. "Miss Katara, as fate would have it, I may be able to offer a solution to your current predicament. My nephew has an interesting proposition for you. Zuko is actually looking for ambassadors from different nations to work together on some international relations between the Fire Nation and their respective nations. You would be perfect for the job."
Oh.
Katara looked over at Zuko, who nodded. It was an attractive proposition. Her own position as the ambassador for the Southern Water Tribe, working with other like-minded people to forge better international relations. But it's based in the Fire Nation? Iroh turned to Zuko, who had taken a back seat in the conversation so far, signalling him to take over. Yes, Zuko replied, rubbing the back of his head nervously. but since it would involve the communications of your tribe's best interests, you could split your time between there and here if you wanted.
Oh, you see that,
he's
guys?
So kind.
The compromise, yes.
Katara nodded slowly as she took it all in. She hadn't thought about leaving the South Pole. Did she really want to stay there forever? You don't have to give an answer right now, Zuko said, eager not to put pressure on her. Have a think about it, Miss Katara, Iris said kindly, patting her hand. We would be most gratified should you choose to accept, but it's entirely up to you. He caught eyes of Kanara across the room. Please excuse me, I must greet your grandmother, he said, rising from his seat. It was a pleasure speaking of you, and I'm sure we'll speak later. He bowed and left the table. Katara and Zuko were left alone. Zuko alone. Sorry about that, Zuko said. I mean, not sorry for offering you'd role. You'd be perfect. But I didn't want to talk all business at your brother's wedding. Uncle got a bit carried away again. Katara smiled. No, thank you for the offer. I'm flattered. It's given me a lot to think about. There was a pause in the conversation. I'm sorry about you and Aang, Zuko said after a beat. Don't be. At all. Really, Katara emphasised. But thank you. I ended it. It wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't right. It wasn't natural.
It's
it
not
wasn't
right,
good. It was
it's
weird.
Not okay. Zuko nodded, looking thoughtful. Could Mai not make it tonight? Katara asked.
His ex-girlfriend. Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully, ex. She left, Zuko said curtly. Oh, I'm sorry, Katara said. Don't be. I just said that really weird.
No, I liked it.
Don't be, Zuko said, and turned to smile at her. But thank you. Katara smiled back at him with mutual understanding.
Oh, God, I'm loving it.
The next morning, Katara stood in the kitchen, stirring the morning stew with her water bending thoughtfully, the movements of the liquid lulling her into a meditative state. Hakoda entered the room. Morning, Katara, he said as he sat down. Morning, Dad. I've got breakfast ready. She bent the liquid into a bowl and passed it over. He smiled at her casual use of waterbending as he took it with a murmur of thanks. Your mother would be so proud of the accomplished waterbender you've become. Katara was caught off guard slightly at the sincere compliment caused by nothing but her making breakfast. I wish my family would compliment me for just making breakfast. Just
what
put
do you
my
make
toast
for
on.
Breakfast, though?
Right now, okay, so this is so basic. Right now, I literally just love some buttered toast and some orange juice. I don't know why, just hits the spot. That's mm-hmm. so basic in me, but it just, mm-hmm. so what do you have for breakfast?
this,
oh, God.
This,
I have half an onion.
Oh my God, stop. Vegan. I actually do.
Piss off. Oh,
yeah, okay, I chop up half an onion and then I have a vegan egg replacement. Mm-hmm. It's called like Organ. And you basically just mix it with a little bit of water and then I pop in nutritional yeast and I make like an omelet type
oh,
of thing.
Nice.
Spinach in it. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. That's very good breakfast.
Yeah. I just love it. I think I've missed eggs for a while. So,
yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, they don't taste like eggs, obviously.
Of course not.
But the texture's nice.
Good. Oh, good. Have mm-hmm. you, so this is off topic. Have you seen a Wagamama's? They've got a new dish. You know, because you know they do this like chili
yeah,
squid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've got a vegan version of chili squid made out of oyster mushrooms. How amazing does that sound?
I know. I don't know if I'd try it though.
What?
I know that's bad.
Why
do you know
not?
What it is? I don't think I'd like the texture.
Maybe. Do you like the texture of squid?
No.
Well, then fair enough.
I don't even, but the thing is, I don't actually love mushrooms either. I like mushrooms. And
yeah,
like,
I like mushrooms when they've been like cooked in a certain way.
Yeah,
I'm not
big
on mushrooms. God, why are we the same fucking person?
I don't know.
Honestly.
I don't know. I just can't help it. Like, nothing about a mushroom to me is like, mushrooms.
I never fancy mushrooms. There was
never.
One, there was one dish that my mom makes that involves mushrooms that actually is really, really good. But that's like, they're like cooked in a certain way. Like, they don't taste like mushrooms. It's like, they're so nice.
That's the thing. I like mushrooms that don't taste like mushrooms.
Yeah.
So they're either
so just
doused in garlic.
Basically.
Yeah. Or they're chopped up in other dishes, but they're not the star. Like, if you offered me a stuffed mushroom, it'd be a solid no.
No, well, I agree with you. I will say, though, like, dishes like nut roast and stuff that have so many mushrooms, I love nut roast.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm obsessed. Like,
oh my God,
I just think
and beef
best.
Wellingtons that aren't like,
yes.
that aren't beef.
Yeah, because I used to love beef Wellington when I ate meat.
So good.
So I do love, oh, anyway, sorry, you can tell it's getting towards lunchtime that I'm like thinking about food. She supposed everyone must be feeling a bit emotional after the wedding. Thanks, Dad. Better get directly to the point. I've been offered the role as a Southern Water Tribe ambassador in the Fire Nation. Kokodo raised his eyebrows in surprise. "What an honor," he said. Sorry, that sounded really sarcastic. Like, "What an honor, you shit." Katara's lips quirked at his choice of words. "It is. I'm going to take it," she said.
She said. I mean, if she didn't, that would be the end of the story. End of story. It?
I'm going to get back together, bang. Hakoda paused for a moment, then smiled. "Of course. I know you've been restless here. Your talent should be out there in the world, helping as many people as possible. Not just you for making us all breakfast," he said, smiling playfully. Katara felt relieved. She stood up to leave, but Hakoda stood and pulled her to him in a big hug before she could. "We will miss you, but they couldn't have chosen better. I am proud for you to represent our tribe." Katara felt tears prick her eyes at his words. "Thanks, Dad," she said, the reply muffled by his fur coat. She pulled away. "I'll come back every so often, since I'll need to liaise with you and Sokka anyway." Hakoda smiled widely. Wonderful.
Aww.
In a few short weeks, Katara found herself on a ship headed towards the Fire Nation, her heart soaring of freedom and purpose. She watched the white glaciers disappear with a twinge of sadness before turning her face to the distant horizon determinedly. Across the water, Zuko confirmed the final ambassador for his International Relations Council and turned to the window, eagerly anticipating the return of Ocean Eyes into his life.
Aww.
So that's chapter one.
Yeah, so a lot happened.
Quite sure a lot happened, though, so I think we could probably just jump straight into chapter two, because it's so short. But that was great. I liked, you know, it was introductory, you know, we provide a lot of context, of course.
Yes.
As one must.
I know, it's really hard to not just launch into the whole history of everything and be like, Suki did this and Toph did this and Hakoda was like this.
Yeah, because the characters are so rich and they have so much depth, so you're right.
And it's a lot of seasons, actually, isn't it? Or maybe I'm just
What is it? Is it four?
I think so.
I think it's four, because there's book one, Water, book two, Earth, book three... Oh, no, book one. Oh, it's book one, Water? No, book one, Water...
Yeah, Water,
Earth. Or is it just three? Because there's not an air book, is there?
What? No, you're right. Hold on. Let's have a look. Oh, no, book four is The Legend of Korra.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because that's book one air, isn't it? Because she learns air first.
Yeah, so we leave on book three, which is fire.
Fire, yeah. So it's only three seasons. There's quite a lot of episodes in a season, though, isn't there? And like in a third book, I think there's a lot of like four parters.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like the last section is like four parts.
Okay, the first two seasons were 20 episodes. The third was 21.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes more sense.
So 61 episodes. So
yeah. Good amount of stuff.
So much happens.
Legend of Korra is also great for anyone.
It is. It's controversial. Some people don't like it.
Okay, TikTok seems to hate it, and I don't understand.
I don't know if it's because she's a female avatar, but the thing is, she's much more human. Aang is very human. Like, they show his flaws, which is fantastic. But when they show her Korra's flaws in Legend of Korra, she gets shit upon. It's really bad.
It is, and everyone always seems to be like, oh, it's a really bad sequel. Blah 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 blah. But it's also like, she's not Aang. She's a different character. That's the thing.
People were expecting Aang.
Because essentially with the Avatar, like, it's not exactly hereditary, but there's just what every time one dies, there's another one that's born.
Yeah.
Kind of like reincarnation, but kind of not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she's not the same person. And she's got a female partner.
Mm.
And I wonder whether people also, like, just didn't take to that whole thing either. I don't know. When I watched it, I thought it was wonderful.
I thought it worked completely. I think as a character, she's, yeah. The thing is, she's cocky, and I think people don't like her. At first, she's very cocky. And then she develops, you know. Her
but then it's also,
develops.
Like, she goes through cocky. So much.
He is, yeah, but he is, but... He's a kid, and I don't mean to cast aspersions, but he's also a boy.
You're right.
And I think there is something in that of there. But it is really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, there are some episodes you watch and you're like, oh, geez. Like, it's not very good. But it is, I think it's a good successor. It's obviously not as good as the original. It's not going to be.
No. Is anything ever?
No.
Apart from Harry Potter.
Apart from
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games are really good.
Divergent, yes and no.
Fuck off.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Like, the second one was okay.
I didn't see Allegiant. I couldn't bother.
No, but Insurgent was fine. Maze Runner. Scorch Trials were decent, I thought.
Oh, I didn't watch any of these. I'm such a fake fan. Oh my god,
loved the Maze
Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, come on, yeah. Dead Man's Chest is so good, and that's the second one. Yeah,
they're bringing that back, aren't they?
They don't. Why? They don't need to.
I think this is the problem with this is again. I'm sorry, right before Chat to Do, but this is the problem with sequels. Is not sequels. Sorry. Remakes. It's like Gossip Girl. I'm like, okay, it's too soon. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally been less than 10 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I just, it's...
It's too many remakes around now anyway. Like, make something original. I was actually thinking about this morning. The film... Have you seen the film Bad Times at the El Royale?
No.
Really good. Amazing cast. Really good film. Super original. What's the premise? So it's basically like a mystery thriller. It's got
Knives Out vibes. No.
Kind of, yeah. Do you know what? Let me get up on IMDb. It's kind of got Knives Out vibes. Let me tell you the cast. It's a really good cast. Bad. Really good film. I definitely recommend it. So it's Jeff Bridges, who's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Johnson, John Hamm is. Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth in a role that is so different for his usual stuff. Cynthia Erivo. Nick Offerman, he's in it kind of loosely, but like the main guys, that's like a main kind of cast.
Mm-hmm.
So the blurb is like, blurb, the description is like, early 1970s, four strangers check in at the El Royale Hotel. The hotel is deserted, staffed by a single desk clerk. Some of the new guests' reasons for being there are less than innocent, and some are not who they appear to be. So you literally learn nothing from that.
That sounds interesting.
I'd recommend it. It is interesting. But that's like, I was thinking about something, I was like, I'm probably an idiot, and it has some like material it's drawn from. But I think it's so original.
And that's like sick.
So nice to have original content nowadays. Yeah.
A Promising Young Woman too, actually, is really good.
Yeah, well, it won. Did it win the Oscar for best screenplay? Original screenplay?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Carey Mulligan. But also just like, I love seeing a femme fatale done differently. It was really well done.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard really good things.
Yeah, I can send you a link.
Yeah.
Illegal link, not a very trustworthy and not on a weird website link.
I remember reading an article that was comparing it to the Joker about how like, it was kind of a character drawn, like pushed to the edge.
That does kind of make sense, yeah.
And how the Joker was kind of celebrated for it, there's been some reaction to Promising Young Woman, like, this is stupid, why is she doing this? Where it's like, well...
I love the concept, though. Like, I want to find more books like this. So again, if anyone has any recommendations, come at me.
Well,
I love the books where, I mean, like kind of like Cersei, but where basically a woman is just pushed to the edge, and then she's just like, do you know what? Fuck it, and just goes a bit crazy.
There's a new book coming out by Bella Mackey, who wrote Jog On. She's married to Greg James, a Radio 1 presenter, but she's like an amazing author. She writes for Vogue and stuff.
Ooh.
And I didn't mean to say but, like, that's like but besides that, and she's
in written, addition to that, yeah,
she's written a book called How to Kill Your Family, and I think the protagonist of that, from what I've heard, is kind of like that. So maybe we should like get onto that.
Yeah, I also want to read Diary of an Oxygen Thief.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
It's about this guy who essentially talks about, I don't know if he's just talking about how he likes to punish girls or whether he's an actual murderer. I can't tell, but it's from the perspective of the killer.
Oh.
And he's like, I love women and the look in their eyes as you take the oxygen out from their lungs, ooh, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ooh, maybe.
That is, Aisha's crazy. That makes you feel unwell.
I mean, he's pretend, I hope.
I hope so. The author like comes out. Yeah, it's about me. It's an autobiography.
Oh my god! Would it be like you? Not you.
Maybe.
Yeah. No. Like in the TV show where he like writes a book about murder to Loki cover up his murder.
Yeah. Oh god, that makes me feel sick. Anyway.
Sorry about that. A little bit of a scarier tangent.
Yeah, I like you can tell I like a good positive story. I can't watch this scary stuff, it gives me nightmares.
I am addicted to serial killer Netflix shows. I don't know why.
Please, no one send us serial killers fan.
Oh my god, no, please no. Like, no. Ted Bundy's tapes were enough.
Oh my god.
Terrifying.
The film with Zac Efron, it was very good, but that was kind of creepy as well.
The ending literally had me shitting myself.
Yeah, awful. Anyway, this is not a horror podcast.
Yeah, unless Katara suddenly becomes evil. Highly unlikely. If she was in a Harry Potter house, do you think she'd be Gryffindor?
Yeah, ooh, probably. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good question. I think she probably would be, but I think deep down maybe she'd have like some Slytherin in her.
Mhm, mhm.
Kind of like Hermione, you know.
Yeah.
She does have some Slytherin in her. Wink, wink. Right. Okay. Chapter two.
Zuko would for sure be a Slytherin.
Yeah.
Aang would be a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Sokka, don't know. He'd just be a Squib. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a non-bender, so.
Yeah.
Right, chapter two. Mm-hmm. Katara eagerly sat in her first meeting, armed with a number of scrolls that she had been studying regarding historical alliances between the Southern Water Tribe and other nations.
Maybe a Ravenclaw. Just saying.
Actually, maybe. The Water Tribe.
But then Hermione is that too.
Yeah, true. That's true. They're very just similar, divergent. Actually.
But
too many worlds.
crossovers everywhere.
What is this, a crossover episode?
I exclude crossovers when I do my AO3 search, though. I hate them so much. God, I always feel like such a mood killer. I'm like, I just can't do it. There's so many Hunger Games crossovers. It's wild. Oh, I've seen Harry Potter and the Hunger Games.
Yes, there's a lot of Harry Potter. Yeah.
Divergent and the Hunger Games.
Well, it's because the dystopian idea kind of works, doesn't it? They're all kind of dystopian.
True. Very true.
The Water Tribe.
I'll stop now.
The Water Tribes have been rather isolated, but she was determined to bring together the nations better than they had ever been before. Welcome to the first meeting of the ambassadors, Zuko said. I thank each of you for your decision to take on this role. I am hopeful that together we can take on the main issues regarding the development of links between our nations. While the Avatar ensures peace within the world and rebuilds the Air Nomad society to restore harmony and balance, it will be up to us to direct the path we take to improve our international relations and put practical plans in place.
Question?
That's a long sentence, yeah.
Air Nomad. I mean, the Avatar, Aang is the last one. So how's he rebuilding?
He's shagging.
Literally just breeding.
He's breeding with Toph.
Oh, wait, I do like Zuko. Really
saying, what Zuko is really saying is, while Aang goes bang, we're gonna work on
Jojo. Oh,
they're adults.
It's true.
Work continues to be undertaken to provide the best outcome for the mixed colonies that still remain after the war. Monitoring the success of this will be a job for this committee. The next point is to establish international trade routes. Too long, our nations have been separated, unable to share wealth and skills. I intend to amend this and strengthen the bonds between us. Oh,
should we be taking notes for Boris Johnson?
Oh,
high key, I'm like, hey.
Why do so many people vote for him?
I hate him so much.
Are you sure? Why do so many people vote for him? What's happening?
Do you know what I'm also a little bit concerned with? For anyone who doesn't know, there's a YouTuber called Nico, and he's running for mayor of London as a joke.
What?
But I am actually very concerned because he's got a lot of he's very popular online.
Oh, for fuck's and sake.
Do you know what it is too, though? It's like the people who vote for him will for sure probably already be voting left.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, are you just wasting your vote?
Yes.
And then I'm like, if he wins, maybe he'll do good stuff. I mean, he does have a few policies, but it's stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not stupid, but it's like
everyone gets a free hat.
No, it's like we will hire policemen and put them in the chambers because that's where all the real criminals are. Prince Andrew Christ. Will not be allowed within 4 meters of a school, any school.
What?
Which, like, fair play.
Well, yeah, fair play, but also if you're a grown adult of any sense, you look at that policy, you go, that won't happen because that is not how the government works.
Oh. So yeah, I'm a bit concerned about that because high key, I'm like, imagine if Sadiq Khan is thrown out for this YouTuber.
Oh, shut up. That's like a nightmare.
I know. I'm like, Nico, like, I love the joke, but also, like, I don't know. I don't know if this is the move.
His words resonated strongly within her, and she felt more determined than ever to make her mark and was honoured to have been chosen to be part of this committee. Each of you have been nominated by a leader of a nation. Zuko's eyes briefly locked to Katara as he said this. You are all accomplished, and I believe together we can assure peace and prosperity in our nations. Nominated by a leader of a nation. From her conversation with Iroh at the wedding, she had assumed it was Iroh's idea to ask her. Katara was certain that Hakoda had not nominated her. He didn't seem to even know about the plan until she had mentioned it, which meant that she had been suggested for the role by... She flicked her gaze at Zuko's golden eyes questioningly, but his attention had been diverted as each of the ambassadors introduced themselves.
Yeah, oh!
It was him!
He just knows. She has skills to be used, man.
When her turn came around, she stood up as the others had. I am Master Katara of the Southern Water Tribe, daughter of Chief Hakoda and the waterbending Sifu to the Avatar. The council members muttered and regarded her in admiration.
I was going to make a sound of, like, murmuring for the background.
Murmur. Oh my gosh, she's so cool, man.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Zuko's lips twitched upwards as he glanced at the reaction of the council members before turning back to Katara. She caught his eyes and smiled widely at him, relishing the feel of being her own person and being admired solely for her achievements, which were infamous enough for her not to need to list aloud. He felt a rush of affection at the gleeful look she gave him before he nodded at her and she sat down as Zuko moved the meeting forward. After the meeting, Katara caught Zuko's arm before he could head back to his office. Hey, she said as the other ambassadors left the room. Nominated by a leader of a nation? Zuko just looked at her with a politely inquiring expression. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah!
Zuko shrugged. Of course. You're very talented, Katara. There isn't anyone else I'd rather have on this committee than you.
I can't imagine him saying that at all.
Me neither.
Sorry.
I imagine him being like, it was an accident. And like, because he's such a little.
Or he'd be like,
nervous.
Uncle Iroh pushed for it.
Yeah.
Uncle lobbied for it. I just said okay.
I just said it's fine.
Yeah.
Katara beamed. Why didn't you say? I thought it was Iroh's idea. Zuko snorted. You're aware that I'm the Fire Lord, right? She rolled her eyes and elbowed him playfully. Well, thank you. I'm really excited.
That's in character.
Zuko smiled at her. It had been a while since this level of enthusiasm had existed within the palace, and he had a feeling it was going to be rather infectious. I've got to head to a meeting with the financial advisor.
Boo.
Quiet down in the audience. I'm a bit busy, so I can hope you can excuse me if I'm not as available as I'd like to be. Oh, of course, Katara said, gesturing for him to go. I've got plenty of work myself to get on with, she said, hitching up her bundle of scrolls. She bowed her head towards him in farewell. Fire Lord Zuko, she said formally, her eyes glinting in amusement. Zuko bowed his head to her, Mask to Katara. She smiled widely and turned, marching down the hall to her quarters. Zuko watched her go with a small smile. The palace had suddenly become a lot less lonely. Katara had suspected that she would struggle to see Zuko outside of a few meetings due to his busy schedule, but she'd certainly underestimated how hard Zuko worked. She was content in her own routine, but every now and then she would find herself missing his company. Sometimes in the evening, she would stand on her balcony and peer along the length of the palace to Zuko's office window, which would always still be lit as he worked into the night. Katara had to find other ways to entertain herself in her spare time. After the first month of her stay, she discovered the famed Fire Nation Library. Since hearing about the vast library, now the largest in the world since the disappearance of Wang Shi Tong's library from the desert, she had been desperate to visit and explore. God, she is Hermione. Okay?
Yeah, she really is.
The South Pole had nothing like it, and Katara had spent the majority of her childhood wishing she could delve into the knowledge of her once great culture. After her first visit, she found herself returning at every opportunity. Her schedule allowed an hour free in the early afternoon each day, and she'd head straight to the library and immerse herself in the lost histories of her tribe. Zuko found her down there one day after asking a palace servants for her whereabouts. He joined her for an hour and selected a few scrolls of his own to peruse. The next day, Katara had been surprised and secretly pleased to see he had come again, this time holding a number of documents he said he needed to work on. Since then, they formed their own routine. Katara would arrive first and set the tea in the centre of the table before curling up in a chair with a scroll. Zuko arrived a bit later, stack of work in hand. Katara would only notice he had arrived and the noise his chair made when he pulled it out. He would always wince slightly at the noise and look over to her, hoping not to disturb her reading.
Relate. I hate when you're going into a library or, like, do you know when it's really quiet, like, at work in the morning and you're trying to, like, settle down without, like, shuffling, but then your water bottle's like, clang, and your pen's like, clink, and you're like, sorry.
Usually this earned a small smile from her and a glance of amusement. Then
she would just get... a glare of contempt for my co-workers.
Would you be quiet?
they're always like, why is your bottle so loud? And I'm like,
it's metal,
me.
I'm sorry.
It is metal. It's a mistake.
No, I have the same.
So much water, though. A litre. I can't give that up.
I know. It's good. I love metal water bottles. Amen. What a very boring sentence. I love metal water bottles.
Imagine if you had a Twitter account where you just tweeted all of those thoughts that you have during the day that are completely bland.
So boring.
I love dry toast. I love metal water bottles.
I love toast for breakfast.
I love socks that aren't fuzzy, but they aren't thin either, so they're kind of bobbly. I love those. We've just lost 700 listeners right there.
Sorry. Usually deserves a smile from her and a glance of amusement. Then she would get straight back to her scrolls. Zuko would set out his work and pour the tea, which Katara would always neglect to pour in her haste to start reading. This quickly became the favourite part of each of their daily routines, though neither had voices aloud. Each enjoyed the company of the other, the change of scenery, and a welcome relief from their duties. Zuko sat focusing on the latest document he needed to read. In this case, it was a report on the mixed colonies by the southern border of the Earth Kingdom. His eyes flicked up to the southern waterbender sitting opposite him. His lips quirked at a serious expression, brow furrowed in concentration as she read through the scroll. He went to look back to his documents, but halted when he noticed Katara's neglected cup of tea, still full from when he'd poured. She hadn't moved from her position since he entered that day, aside from the regular smile and nod of acknowledgement at his arrival. He smiled to himself and placed his hand around the cold cup, warming it up till the tea was steaming. He then focused back on the report.
Oh, Katara, that was cute.
Katara was engrossed in a scroll describing some waterbending healing techniques that appeared to have originated in the South Pole.
Because she's a healer. Yeah.
She'd never come across them before, but it looked suspiciously like the healing techniques from the Northern Water Tribes crossed with something similar to bloodbending.
Ooh, bloodbending.
She was momentarily confused when she saw steam rising behind the paper. She couldn't help the smile that crept onto her face as she glanced at the firebender opposite. His crown lay discarded among the papers he had spread across the table, his head supported by his left hand of his fingers tangled in his hair, keeping his fringe out of his face. Her eyes drifted to the unblemished right side of his face. He really was handsome. She felt a sudden urge to reach out and move his left hand away so she could push his fringe back from his face herself and just look at him, scar and all.
His scar is hot, man. I know he's dismembered and it's really sad, but sorry, not dismembered, disfigured.
Dismembered. I know he lost half his head, but
his really dismembered sad. Eye, just as you can, dismembering one eye.
Yeah. She's thinking of this when she suddenly registered that he looked up to her. She started. Okay, I don't get it when people say that, she started. Do you mean like, I don't mean it's like startled.
I always imagine that weird. As a beginning of a Blanche.
Yeah, she blanched.
If that makes sense. So she's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I know what you mean. Because I did try and look that up the other day. Because I was looking for synonyms for my writing, which is getting a bit samey. And I was like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Don't know.
She started, embarrassed to have been caught staring. Her eyes dropped hastily back to the table as her fingers fumbled to pick up the scroll. She pulled it over her face, praying to the spirits that he hadn't seen the blush rising in her cheeks. After a moment, she remembered her tea and reached out to take it. She was relieved to see that he had resumed his reading. Thanks, she said to him, picking up her cup and giving him a quick smile. He looked back up at her. Oh, it was nothing, he said, shrugging non-committedly, and then fixed his eyes firmly back onto his work. A few days later, Zuko marched to the library, pulled his usual chair out abruptly, unaccompanied by the endearing, apologetic smile, and heaved a smart sigh as he rather deliberately sat down in his chair. Katara looked up from her reclined position and put down the scroll she was holding. Are you okay? She asked. Zuko put his head in his hands, sighing again. Yeah, I'm fine, he spoke, the word muffled by his palms. Oh. did you get the effect?
I did. That was very good. I felt like I was right there with him.
Thank you. Katara bit back a laugh and picked up her snack bowl. Rice candy? She offered. His fingers parting so he could peer through them at her offering, and he snorted in amusement. Sure. Thanks, he said, reaching out for one of the sweets popping in his mouth. Katara moved to sit properly, pulling her chair in towards him. What's up? She asked, instinctively reaching her hand out across the table for his hand before remembering herself and placing it flat on a table top near him instead. He leant back in his chair, closed his eye, and heaved a sigh. He ran his hands as far through his hair as his crown would allow, dislodging a few strands of his fringe. Why does everything have to be so complicated? He asked. You think people would be happy the war was over and just want to do whatever they can to help keep the peace. but it's just not that simple.
Adult life, Zuko. Yeah. Shit.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Katara no, asked. You silly bitch, said Zuko. You're just a girl.
Shut up. Women suck. Zuko tilted his head back down to her and smiled. You're already doing a great job of your own here. I wouldn't want to burden you with any more work. Besides, I think a lot of these need official Fire Lord approval. Well, Mr. Great Fire Lord, I know I may only be a lowly peasant, but I'm sure I could help, she mocked. Zuko snorted. You're basically a princess. What? Katara asked, no scrunching and confusion. You're the daughter of the chief, Zuko explained. Since that's the highest position in the Southern Water Tribe, that makes your position equatable to that of a princess. Katara pulled a doubtful face, but shrugged in acquiescence. You never told me that, back in the war, Zuko said. What, that I was a princess? That's because I'm not, Katara teased. Princess, daughter of the chief, you know what I mean, Zuko responded, rolling his eyes.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
But then it's also like, okay, a princess from the Fire Nation is not the same thing as a princess from the Southern Water Tribe.
She shrugged again. Why would I? It wasn't important. Zuko gave her a look that she couldn't quite place. Anyway, we're talking about your current issues, Katara said, returning to their former topic. I'd like to help. I've seen how late you work. I could certainly spend more time than you. His gaze dropped to the table. He had to concede that she had a point there, but something else she said caught his attention the most. You've seen how late I work? He asked, a mischievous glint in his eye as he looked up at her through the fringe that had fallen out of his crown.
Caught!
Katara blanched. Well, yes. You're rarely around for an evening meal, so I figured that's what you were doing, she said, desperately attempting to cover up what she admitted. Hmm, Zuko responded, nodding to himself thoughtfully. Katara had a sneaking suspicion he hadn't quite bought her hasty cover. Do you want to go for a walk? He asked. Surprised at the sudden apparent change of topic, Katara took a moment before replying, okay.
Okay, I love where they're gonna go. I know we can both see where they're going, but yeah. I love it because this is always their place and all it is their place. It's their thing.
Zuko led Katara to the private palace gardens. There appears to be some sort of unrest within the council, Zuko admitted. There are a number of councillors who blatantly disagree with pretty much every idea I have. They seem fixated on driving traditions that aren't progressive or relevant any longer. I feel like I don't know how to get through to them. Once Zuko started speaking, all of his concerns started tumbling out. Katara listened intently, and during pauses in his speech, she would pin her gaze on the horizon as she considered his predicament. Eventually, Zuko reached a natural pause. He looked over to Katara, as he hadn't received a response from her in a while. He internally chided himself for boring her with his monologue. Anyway, you probably don't... How many counsellors and advisors do you have? She asked. Zuko was a bit startled at her response, as he definitely assumed she'd lost interest. There's 10 members on the council, but only 3 who are particularly vocal in their outdated opinions, Katara said. Well, yes, said Zuko. I've seen some of those counsellors around. I reckon I have some ideas. They discussed a great many things, and afterwards, Zuko felt lighter than he had in a long time, and armed with a number of solutions he had previously not considered. At some point in their meandering, he automatically came to rest at his favourite spot by the turtle duck pond. They both sat with their backs against a tree, watching the turtle duck swim around. Aww.
This is such a thing that so they sweet. Do too.
It is, yeah, it is. Zuko sighed and leaned his back against the tree, stretching his legs out. Thank you, Katara. You were right. Talking things through with you was exactly what I needed, he said. Katara turned to him, placing a comforting hand on his knee and said, I'm always happy to help you, Zuko.
Then she stood it up further and things and, got heated.
And touched his willy. He smiled at her, then coughed awkwardly, hoping she hadn't noticed that his temperature had shot up as soon as her hand had touched his leg. He sat up a bit straighter, suddenly feeling uncomfortably warm in his heavy robes. It wasn't until he moved that Katara fully realised she had her hand on his knee, and she quickly pulled her arm back, offering a slightly embarrassed smile. There were a few moments of silence, where they both went back to watching the water before Katara said, Thank you for letting me stay here in the palace, by the way. Of course, said Zuko, somewhat surprised. Where else would you be staying? You're the Southern Water Tribe ambassador for the Fire Nation. Another pause, and then, I really appreciate having you here. Katara felt privately elated at the comment. She looked sidelong at Zuko, noting a spark in his eyes that he kept trained on the water in front of them, and a small smile tugging at his lips. She turned back to the pond too, smiling at herself. She took a deep breath and shifted to sit a bit closer to him. her arm resting by his arm.
Okay, this is a tangent, but do you know when you're younger and you have a crush on someone and you sit and like their knee nudges yours and you literally like your heart goes into overdrive?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, you're like, do they even know? I love it. Because I don't know if boys necessarily actually even clock that kind of stuff, or whether it's just a female thing of being like, our knees are nudging.
Maybe, yeah. Her entire world suddenly became focused around the stretch of skin between her shoulder and elbow that was in contact with Zuko's arms. Yeah, that's literally it. Yeah. She sat there tensely, overanalyzing every slight moment she felt Zuko make. God, it's like she knows what we're saying.
It's just the plot, I swear. I mean, not to generalize, but I feel like most teenage girls go through this at least once, where they're like, oh my god, our elbows just grazed. You're like, did he see that? Did he feel it too? I can't look. I say teenage girls, I'd probably the same now as an adult. Yeah, see, I'm like, yeah, did you notice that look? Maybe not.
She felt an increased pressure and realised with a pounding heart that he had unmistakably moved to sit close to her. His thigh pressed against hers and she thought her heart might jump out of her chest. She risked a glance at him. He was still staring at the pond ahead of him, a lopsided smile plastered across his face.
Every time somebody says lopsided smile, I think of that emoji that's kind of got the crookedy smile. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You send that to me a lot. I love it.
It's so, do you know what? It's the face I think I pull when people say most stuff.
Yes, you do. He turned to look at her and her cheeks flushed red as she avoided his gaze and went back to looking at the pond. The end of chapter 2.
Whoa.
Wah, 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 wah. That was so sweet. It is so sweet and romantic, but so like gentle right now. It's so sweet, isn't it? Very innocent, really lovely, which I think kind of goes with the Avatar a bit.
It totally does. Like, they definitely, it's very like innocent and sweet. It's very much like, yeah, gentle love. Like, you don't see anything in the show, obviously, because they're all kids. Of course,
they're kids, yeah.
But even like, there's only like one kiss, and even that's like, whoa. The question that is though, can you see how this is going to ramp up to being smutty?
Because
there's
smut
tags. Okay, good. And do you think that she's done bits with Aang is the question, or do you think they're just both total virgins? Because I always wonder that with these books, because he's so, Aang is very like, you know, he's a monk.
Yeah, I don't think they've done anything. If I was to guess.
Oh, I just can't see how they're going to get heated. Even just then, it was more blushy than like.
Yeah.
Spicy, but yeah, how many turtles would you give that out of 10?
I would give it 7, because it's like an introductory stuff, really enjoyable, love it, like I love these characters so much, but I'm looking forward to like a bit more you know, development of like a plot or something, but I'm also loving the sweetness, because we rarely read stuff like that, so I'm really enjoying that. What about you?
6.
Okay, fair enough.
I do still want them to like, they normally butt heads still a little more. So I'm wondering,
we'll have a bit of that. We need a bit of drama.
I really want that. I mean, I want there to be, I love a fight.
Yeah,
a little fight, and then they can make up.
Yeah, exactly. A fight that doesn't go on very long.
Yeah,
and ends well,
like a page, so you don't get anxious.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I do see in the tags that it says jealous and spa.
Ooh. Okay.
So
okay.
Hopefully that means her. Imagine if it's just Uncle Iroh and Hakoda.
Honestly, I'm really excited about this story. I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully you guys liked it as well.
Yeah.
New world, you know, new fandom. So I'm definitely, you know, maybe we'll hear something. But yeah, just hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we will eventually get back to When the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, we just enjoy taking breaks from it.
You know, because it's a lot of reading, guys. It's a lot of reading.
Variety is the spice of life.
Wow.
There we go.
What Pinterest quote was that?
That's Uncle Iroh. That's something Uncle Iroh would say.
That's fair.
That's a proverb.
Going to quote that in my thesis next time.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that's all good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
any predictions?
I think they're probably, yeah, some jealousy. I think maybe they'll start, maybe they'll like start seeing each other, or they'll see each other maybe like covertly, and maybe some other guys will try to like start playing guitar, or some other people might start trying to see like Zuko, and it'll be a bit of jealousy, like a bit of drama, a bit of something. And it seems like there's some troubles going on maybe in the colonies, maybe something to do with that. So I don't know. What about you?
I wonder if they're gonna, yeah, start dating or start maybe like spending a lot of time together. And then I wonder if May's gonna come back and be like, I'm engaged.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Because I fucking love that. I mean, May is just a plot point.
Yes, I love the use of her as a plot point in like these stories.
Poor thing, she never gets her own story.
She doesn't. Even though she's a great character in herself, like she's a very cool character.
She's a bad bitch.
Yeah.
But I want her to come back and be like, he's my fiance. And she'll be like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah, exactly.
And he'll be like, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then she'll be like, I'm never forgiving you. I'm going to go to, I don't know, Ba Sing Se. And then he's going to be like, I'm going to follow his spot. I'm really creating my own thing here.
Yes. But you should write your own stuff. But no, I think that sounds great. I like the idea. A bit of drama. Mm-hmm. I want that.
The thing that I like about this fiction is that, like, most of the time with the Zutara fictions, they do always go off to find his mum. And while I think that is great, and it is definitely just a good point, because they definitely left that out in the show.
Yeah,
there was
they
room
did.
To do stuff there.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, it's kind of nice to read about stuff where that's not a plot point. I mean, it could be.
Yes, I agree. It's nice to have some different...
It's a bit fresh, yeah.
I like it.
So, yeah.
All right, well...
Eventual smut, when there's a lot of smut.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Apparently really there's a lot when it's there, yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully all the time with Aisha's reading, because that would be so funny.
Oh my God, again. I'll die.
But yeah, thank you guys for listening again. And yeah, from your two afflictive fans, hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you, Aisha.
Thank you, Jojo. And we'll see you all next week. Hopefully there might be some smut. No, actually, hopefully there won't be for mine.
Hope there'll build be some drama.
Yes, a fight.
Yes.
Or
give me
a
fight. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.